This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike McCammon, Medicine Man, and I've got Di Foster again with us today. And remember, we talked about with her last week, and she has overcome the dreaded diagnosis of cancer 9 years ago when she was given 6 months to live. 6 months. And here she is in front of me again. And so anybody that wants a bit of hope, if you know someone that has a dreaded diagnosis, particularly breast cancer, where it's an epidemic in this country, so if you've got a scare yourself or if you know somebody, you know, grab a glass of nice, clean, non-chlorinated water and or some fruit juice or some green juice or smoothie or whatever. Sit down and have a listen to my interviewing with Di Foster, and we'll come back to you just after this short little break, okay? Hi, Di. It's nice to see you back here again, looking radiant as ever.
Lovely to be here.
And it was so inspiring talking to you last week, how you were given 6 months to live and you refused to accept it. And we had a wee talk out there outside the studio about another patient that a friend of mine knew that was told they only had, you know, they had terminal cancer, and yet she was carrying this lump around for years before she knew what it was. And when she was told that it was cancer, she was dead in 2 weeks.
The power of words.
So the power of the word, that is it, isn't it? The word. The word is so powerful, and it can destroy you or make you well again.
Absolutely.
And this power of who we put on pedestals, and let's face it, I don't care who you are. You might be Harry and Meghan, but they will admit themselves, basically, or hopefully they would say, they're just schmucks with a job, a schmuck with a job. I'm a schmuck with a job. And anybody out there thinks they're really important, you've got to get it in your head. You're a schmuck with a job, and you're not going to have all the answers. And neither do all the experts have all the answers. And that's the most important thing to realize, that you don't want to get too overawed with people who supposedly know, okay? Now, you know, I'm a person who supposedly knows about herbal medicine, but there's just not enough time in the day in my lifetime for me to know all there is about herbal medicine. A really good Chinese herbalist will know about 30,000 herbs. Well, I know about 300 pretty good, and I know about 30 really, really well, and yet probably my favourites would be about a dozen, you know? But, you know, there's no way I'm going to know everything. So the important thing is, you know, we've all got to stand up so we don't know anything, no matter what standing a person has. But I would like to start, however, before I interview you, get into the guts of this, with a quote by one of my favourite folk, Thomas Edison. As you know, he was a pretty clever guy. But interestingly enough, he didn't have really, I think from the age of 12, he had no schooling. You get that, folks? From the age of 12. This is the guy that invented the light bulb. This is the guy that, through his working career, patented a new invention every single week of his working life. Do you get that? Right, the inventor of the phonograph as well, you know, spoken voice. Anyway, I'd like to say share what he says about health, okay, what he said. The doctor of the future will no longer treat the human frame with drugs, but will rather cure and prevent disease with nutrition.
Hallelujah.
Now, I really don't like to be a knocker, but I just can't resist saying that my doctor mates, and I know a few, and I've flattered with them and all that over the years, they had one, so far my doctor mates told me they had one lecture on nutrition.
1 hour lecture.
1 hour lesson on nutrition. And it is estimated by people that are, you know, pretty bright, that about 80% of all the diseases of civilization are due to poor nutrition. 80%. And they had 1 hour on nutrition. But the most extraordinary thing for me, Diane, listeners, is that when I read about this article about this new food, this wonder food and all, it's very exciting. But at the end of just about everyone I read, it says, but first ask your doctor. I mean, am I going insane here?
No, I don't think so.
It's 4 years old, ask your mechanic how to take your gallbladder out. He's going to be good at fixing the main bearings, but he's not going to know a thing about your gallbladder and vice versa. So what do you think? I know that the power of the mind was a big thing for your getting well. You did not let the power of somebody who supposedly know, you didn't let an expert tell you what to do because you were going to do it your way.
Well, yeah, I think there's a very valid question in what you brought up. You know, if I go to somebody who supposedly knows, then if I put more value in what they think or what, you know, they present to me than in my own intuitive feelings, then I'm giving over my health. I'm giving control of my health to them. And I don't think, I think that the whole thing with what you've said is that nobody knows. And I don't think that's the right question anyway. The question to me is always, what's right for me? So I'm not interested. So when you go to these supposed experts, they are experts in disease. Well, if you're not looking for disease and you're looking for wellness, that's where nutrition sits. Nutrition sits in wellness. These people are studying disease and how the...
Studying disease. And they've done lots of study on people with cancer.
Huge.
But what you said last week, I mean, it's stunning, isn't it, when I asked it, when you announced, you know, so how many years later, and it's 9 years later, and and have they ever wanted to study what you've done? Have they ever asked you, what are you doing to be so well when you were supposed to be dead?
Well, not only do they not want to study me, they don't even want to talk to me.
Astonishing.
I mean, it blows me away.
And but if you still had the cancer, they'd be all over you and they'd be doing studies and blood tests and all that. And they'd be doing research. See, that's why people run around Hagley Park and that in their bras so they can get more money. So you give these people, they give them more research so they can put more food on the table and have their golf courses and say, I'm being really awful here.
I know. And do you know what they do at some of those things? Okay, you're getting my bitchy side out of me now. But, you know, we have these pink ribbon things and all that, you know, breakfast and stuff. And we all eat pink food that's got red food colouring in it. And to wash it down with alcohol. This awesome. That's just like,
cancer loves sugar. So let's get some money for cancer and let's eat lots of sugar while we're doing it.
Oh, I tell you, that's my really cynical side coming out of me. It does do my head in a bit, though.
Because, well, if you're a fan of Monty Python, this is perfect.
I am indeed. And it is, I do find it quite frustrating because the thing is that if you just put my story to the side for a moment, you know, what I'm absolutely passionate about is that people don't need to go down to the extremes that I went and had a diagnosis of terminal cancer, but they take steps in their everyday life to actually live and fulfill a healthy lifestyle. And I know at times it can be boring, but that comes down to how we frame it in our head. You know, like, believe me, it is not fun sitting in hospital.
I get that. I'm going to stop you just a couple of a sentence back.
Yeah.
You said it's really boring, you know.
It can be.
Since I've started to go on keto, dare I say, I don't want to throw another diet. But, you know, since it's this Mediterranean food, all the wonderful things, my food choices have more than I've ever had in my life. Then when I was brought up on meat and potatoes, and I don't want to knock my mum's cooking, that was great. But my food choices, I'm certainly not bored with the program that I'm on.
Yeah, I think I'm not bored with my program, but it does, for me, because, you know, my mother is everything in moderation, Diane, and it's like, well, that's great, but that's what's got me here. And, like, I would say that, for me, I'm severely addicted to sugar. And so right from a very young age, I was severely addicted to sugar. So the answer for me is not moderation. The answer for my two boys at home is moderation because they can tolerate carbohydrates. But that's not the answer for me.
I've got a friend who's quite happy to drink a bottle of sherry every night, but it's only one bottle and it's moderate.
And so, you know, I'm an eliminator. I eliminate a big chunks of food that I just wouldn't eat because it doesn't serve me.
Yes.
And so that's what, and I, sometimes it's not so much boring, but I have to be organised. There you go. If I'm socialising, I have to be very
organised. Depending on your nature, you know, that in your case, discipline was required.
Yes.
Now, to bring another point, let's face it, you are a fourth Dan Sato Karate exponent.
I tend to exaggerate.
Get that, folks, I do stretch it a bit. But point of this one, if you're in a bad mood in a dark alley, I'm not going to go down that dark alley and annoy you in any way, shape or form. So would it be, you know, just to be a little bit of a devil advocate, is it the fact that, well, you survive because you really know about discipline. You are a warrior. Your spirit's a warrior. What about the ordinary schmuck out there who's, you know, perhaps just struggling along? They've been given a diagnosis of breast cancer. Do they require a lot of discipline? Do they require that kind of warrior spirit to get through this?
Well, it's interesting because part of what I would call my warrior spirit is knowing when to let go. And so, you know, like I'm not a fighter, you know, like I'm not a fighter till the death. I understand that there's life and there's death and it's all part of the one thing. So just doing anything is never the answer. It's somehow the mixture and the paradox of both that is the answer. So, you know, samurais have, you know, at times when they're backed into a corner will take their own life, not because they don't value it, but because for a number of reasons, that's the choice that they're making at that time. And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're getting me right off track. But,
well,
you know,
I'll keep you on track.
That's perfect. You know,
what you're saying is there's a non-violent way to be a warrior. Let's face it. Look, if you're a bloke, and folks, look, if a mosquito lands on your testicle, you will discover a way to solve the problem without violence.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so we did mention that last week that I do some martial arts myself in a different style, but it's about not fighting. And we're not just saying that, folks. It's really about not fighting.
So I've trained for 23, 24 years, and if you ask me, the one thing that I've learnt is how not to get into a fight. Mm. It's how not to get myself in a position to be in a dark alley. And it's the second thing that it's taught me is to assess my opponent very quickly, because it doesn't matter how many
years... You won't find me down there with you.
It doesn't matter how many years of training you've had. You know, if someone's got that thing inside them, which I would always call a bit of mongrel, you know, if they've got that thing inside them that makes them want to fight and go to the death, then, you know, if you're not one of those people, you're in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong place.
So to go back to your question, you know, the guy next door, the girl next door, you know, that is me. I'm just somebody that's never had a fight outside a dojo, that goes along and trains, concentrates on kata, which is a single person, non-contact version or part of karate. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's just a couple of decisions that I've made. And they come down to the stories that I tell myself in my head. And everybody has that available to them. And the second thing that I think that I have a gift in doing is knowing when to let go and knowing when to step in. You know, and I think that's something in life that we all do. At times we know we really need to lean in, and at other times you need to just lean back out again.
And that, I believe, is a key when you have this diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah.
Do not suddenly go into overdrive, folks. Do not go into that adrenal overdrive. And this is the thing with when you do go and you visit someone who's the expert, is this tendency is you'll overjuice yourself with cortisol. It's easy to do, and it's a natural response.
No, and it's easy, I'll be really blunt, it's really easy for a practitioner like Michael to sit here and say, don't do that. You know, like, just whatever you do, don't go into that hyperdrive. And you know, I'll be really honest, really easy for him to say that. But let's actually talk about it when you're there. You know, when you're there and you literally are just paralysed by fear that you're not going to see your grandkids or you're not going to see your children. And I didn't even have a child then, but I was going through, holy shit, I haven't met my children yet. You know, let's just go back to that moment where you're just absolutely riddled with fear of dying and missing out on life. Breathe. Just breathe. Just take in what you need to take in and just breathe. In, out, notice, don't make any decisions, the sun is still going to come up tomorrow, it's going to be okay. And the reason I say it's going to be okay is it's going to be okay regardless, because we were always going to die. It's not suddenly something that's landed on us that's new. We were always going to die. And in that moment, it's not about demanding that you get healed or that you demand that this happens. It's about breathing so that you can notice. You can notice how your body's feeling and just drop past the fear. You are going to die, so don't worry about that. That's all taken care of. But you just drop past that fear and there will be things that you notice. If the oncologist is saying one thing and your heart's saying another, that's the moment of gold that you listen to. And if they do say something that you think, that sounds like me, but I also need to do some supplementary things, then that's the gold that you listen to. You take control of your own health by listening to what's going on inside you and not giving over your entire health to somebody else, in my humble opinion.
You know, something happens with me when I hear the truth. It's the whole of me feels it. And I hope that you listeners out there, if you're sitting in with this tough decisions and you're in a place like what we're talking about today, that you actually get that feeling that this is authentic. This is someone here who has walked the walk. It's not just talking the talk here. So let's move to something, okay? Let's talk about nutrition. Let's talk about supplements. Let's talk about some practicals. Once you've had that time off, or would we like to spend a little bit more on that time off?
No, I think let's talk about some of the physical things that
what
you can
do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. In other words, let's just try look at another approach, because the normal, dare I say, mainstream is a battle, is going to the fight. Now, we're not saying that that isn't appropriate in some occasions.
That's right.
You know, I remember when Japan declared war, when Germany declared war, particularly when the Japanese were in there, my father was one of the first ones to volunteer. You know, Mum even had a place up in the portholes. She's going to jump off if the Japanese ever came here. And there was a righteous way. That was a war that had to be fought. Otherwise, if we didn't fight it, we would be Japanese now. And I don't think it would be pretty nice for us. So there is a time when war is appropriate.
You've got to pick your battles.
But you've got to pick your battles. So let's look at another way of approach, right? Another way of approach, which is, okay. How do we describe the other way, the art of the peaceful warrior?
Yeah, and I think that that's a really great place to start. So for me, one of the first things I did was remove myself from my wellness having to be this enormous task list. So I just stepped back, and instead of going to 101 appointments in a week, I was allowed myself one. And that was so that I could actually have the space to live. And, you know, in doing that, one of the first things that I'd say, and you brought it up before with these, you know, miracle foods, is let's just start with the basics. And the basics to me come down to whole foods. That's key number one. The second thing is that if it's not healing and supportive to your body, then in times of crisis, then I wouldn't be putting it in. So if you want to know how to get your mind around, that whole treat thing, you know, just that's a headspace thing. That's not a physical thing that you need. That's just getting your head around it. Because sometimes we need to decide and we just need to do it and there needs to be no excuses. We just need to get on with it.
And specifically we're talking, let's face it, about sugar, treats, the
sugar,
cakes.
Alcohol.
And, yeah, sugar, alcohol, anything
complex
with sugar.
Carbohydrate, yeah.
Yep.
Any sort of white, all of that
Remember,
stuff.
Remember, folks, said it before, said it again, and we'll say it again in the future. There's sugar. Cancer loves sugar.
Oh, and it does. It just so loves it. And so you just, for me, if I look at it or was giving advice to anyone, just get back to that whole foods. Really simply, whole foods to start with. The other thing for me is that I don't, eating it in the way, the closest way it was that it was produced is better. So I know that we then go down fads of bliss balls and, you know, raw slices and all that sort of stuff. Well, don't even get me started on raw slices. If you're staying away from sugar, then stay away from those, because the date content of them makes the fructose level go through the roof. So
So limit your fruit too.
Limit your fruit. Well, that's me personally. I basically don't eat any fruit. Because if you're just eating vegetables and some protein and some nuts and seeds, that's really where you need to just start from. That's where your gold happens. And every single meal needs to sit around that 75% mark of vegetables.
Now, sports drinks, I think, has got 30 teaspoons of sugar. So, okay, if you're an Olympic athlete, that's appropriate, I suppose. You could argue it because you're going to burn it all off.
But I doubt they even drink them, though. Seriously.
Oh, no, it's, serious athletes don't.
Exactly. It's
I know enough. They don't touch the stuff.
Just saying.
When you see it advertised by an athlete.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Well.
And the food colouring in them. Oh, don't even get me started.
Yeah, so the other thing that promotes cancer, of course, is the preservatives and food colourings and petrochemicals and, of course, the stuff that's in Roundup. And it's in our food supply, folks. So, you know, if you don't believe me, just go to the supermarket and look at the average trolley and you'll see a whole lot of different foods, but they're not really different. A lot of them are carbos made to look different.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a simple rule, you know, like I talk about whole foods, and my second rule is if you really must eat something that's in a packet, knock yourself out. There's just one rule first. Eat the box. If you can eat the box, then I reckon you've got more nutrition in the box than you have. I actually Googled that once, and I'm not far off. There's more nutrition.
You're not far off.
There's almost more nutrition in the box than there is in what's inside it. And so, you know,
pretty close to the truth, folks.
It is. I actually Googled it for about a day once, and I was like shocked to find that it was actually true. So, you know, it's not rocket science. It's not about just eating leafy green vegetables, but it's about eating, you know, leafy and a multitude of those leafy green vegetables and vegetables of colour and all different mixture and things. And to make that as not exciting, but to be as tasteful as possible.
And the thing about greens too is that the chlorophyll molecule, I've said in another talk, is almost identical to the hemoglobin molecule. The hemoglobin's got iron in the middle and chlorophyll's got magnesium, but we have this intimate relationship with plants. Now, as human beings, we've had millions and millions of years initially as primates, and of course, the bulk of our food, 80% of it or more, some like the mountain gorillas, it's 100% is vegetables, leaves. Yeah. Leaves and berries and some fruits we can get hold of it in certain seasons. But basically, the human physiology today requires approximately 2.2 kilos of green vegetables. And how many of us have that? Now, in another talk, we can talk about how there are supplements, but you've got to get the right ones and they've got to be natural, that actually bring you up to having the kind of effects that if you were eating 2.2 kilos of greens. But in the meantime, what we're going to stay with here is nutrition and food today.
And you can't supplement out of a bad diet.
You can't supplement out of a bad diet.
And, you know, one of the other things about, you know, food that I would say is that before I eat, I literally hold my plate in my hands and become at one with my food and say, for this food that I am about to receive, I am truly grateful. May I take in what I need to take in. May I pass on what I need to pass on. I am truly grateful for the nutritious food available to me each and every day, and I'm also grateful for. And I tell you what, if you're thinking about eating some shite food, that's a great way to just connect yourself with the food that you're eating and bring yourself back into the present.
So hear that, folks? No scoffing. No
inhaling.
No greedy gannets out there, okay?
Sit and eat.
And, you know, this thing about getting half an hour for lunch, how do they do it? How do people do it? I hope you're not one of these people that are out there in a factory or whatever you're doing and you get half an hour for lunch. I don't think that's enough, personally, but whatever. You know, you'd rather miss it, you know, or have a smoothie or something. But quite right. We're all in the rush, aren't we? And when you eat things in a rush, it's not going to digest properly. And what you don't digest rots.
Yeah.
And what rots turns to sugar and chemicals and nasties, you see. So that's incredibly relevant, isn't it? That's
incredibly relevant. Yeah.
And yet, the whole thing about the whole food thing is so cheap. Spinach.
Yeah.
Be Popeye. You know, you can't eat. I mean, you can just go nuts on spinach and asparagus and avocado, seasonal, sprouted seeds.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on, you know. So, and we have this wonderful ability. We've got so many good things in this country to eat.
Absolutely. Very, very grateful.
So we've run out of time.
How do we do that, Michael?
Well, we love having fun, you know. We have about having fun. Folks, if you've just got one message here, right, just I hope there's something that you got out of today, especially if you're in a crisis in your life, that just take that breather, take a breather. Think about greens. Stop eating sugar. I was going to say be nice to other people.
Yes.
But first of all, be nice to yourself. And listen. Listen to that still voice inside there, because inside you there's something incredibly wise. Give it a chance.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for listening to us. Thank you so much, Di Foster, for being here. We're on Plains FM. This is The Medicine Man. And we'll catch up in a couple of weeks with Di. And, okay.
Awesome.
Have fun, everybody. Bye-bye.